Continuing with the scriptures that we left off and remembering now in this letter to the church at Thyatira, which is a letter to all of us. We learn this truth. Be honest with men. Be honest with them. Don't you hate a liar? Don't you hate it when somebody lies to you? Just lied to you. You know, you think, you lied to me. You just told me something that just wasn't so. You destroyed my confidence in you. I just, a liar. Be honest. Be honest with men. Be honest with them about false religion. Be honest with them about themselves. Because when you're honest with them about themselves, you're being honest about yourself. I mean, we're all dug out of the same pit. Come on. We just, you know, be honest with them about God. Be honest with them about Almighty God. In that day, when all men, all women stand before God Almighty, well, I'm telling you, the truth is going to be set forth. Absolute truth. Don't you want to hear the truth? Don't you want to know the truth? Truth will set a man free. All right. Well, chapter 2, verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest, or you allow, that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Now, obviously, this woman was more than likely truly a woman that was there. I mean, I don't doubt that this church, John actually wrote to real churches. And I don't doubt that there was actually a woman at that church that the Lord refers to as Jezebel. Odious. Odious woman. You know, there's certain names that you just don't name your kids nowadays. Jezebel would be one of them. You know, Jezebel. Judas. Judas wouldn't be a good name. I mean, just the connotation of what it said, symbolized. But this woman, though very possibly was an actual woman, she's symbolic of all those that would attempt to be spreading the false, God-resenting, God-hating, God-despising doctrine of spiritual fornication. Now, you know, whenever we start talking about spiritual fornicators, what that is, taking something, number one, unfaithfulness. Just unfaithfulness. That'd be the number one underlying word. You're talking about spiritual fornication. Unfaithfulness. Man makes a commitment to a woman. A woman makes a commitment to a man. You stand before a preacher or somebody and you say, I promise you, I promise before Almighty God, I'm giving you my word. I'm giving you my word. I promise you. Look into my eyes and listen to my voice, and I promise I'm going to be truthful to you. Well, fornication, unfaithfulness. Spiritual fornication. What is the, and I've said this before, what is the total the epitome. Almighty God says, I am the Lord. There's none other besides me. Salvation's of the Lord. Who said that? Almighty God said that. Salvation is of the Lord. It's of the Lord. God Almighty saves men. God saves them. Saves them by grace, grants them faith to believe that He has graciously saved them by having taken their sin and made Christ sin. Made Christ to be what His people are. Made Him sin. And dealt with their sin. Why? Because He's a just God. Do you think that God is just going to just sweep sin under the rug? You know, they say, well, you know, I believe the Lord loves everybody. He doesn't. He does not. Well, I believe He does. Well, He said He doesn't. He said, I hate all workers of iniquity. He loved Jacob and hated Esau. I looked the word up. It means hate, despised. God does not love all men. Who said that? God said that. God said that. Spiritual adultery is when a man or a woman absolutely, in the face of Almighty God, says this, I don't believe that salvation is of the Lord. I believe that salvation is by me taking what God offers me, and I decide whether or not I'm going to accept that or reject that. Free will doctrine. The teaching that a man or a woman has the right or ability to accept what God Almighty says. Free will doctrine is spiritual adultery. That is taking what God says and says, I spit in your face. I spit in your face. When those men at the Lord Jesus Christ at that mock trial, they spit on Him. And to despise what Almighty God says and to say, I say that I will exalt myself to the throne of God. And if I'm saved, men say, it will be because I decided that I accept it. It was left up to me, and I had the last word. I had the last word. Now, am I right? Am I telling you the truth? If you think that a man or a woman has a free will, the will that says, I can accept it or reject it, then what you're saying is, I have the last word in salvation. I have the last word. Now, where does that leave God? Without the last word. You see the heresy of this? You see the despising of God's word when Almighty God says, I kill and I make alive. I raise up, I put down. Salvation's of the Lord. It's of the Lord. The Scripture says that God chose a people before the foundation of the world. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. How many times have we looked at this Scripture? Paul says, we're bound to give thanks to you, beloved of the Lord. Listen, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now let me ask you this. Who's lying? Who's lying? Either God's lying or men are lying. And the Scripture says, let God be true and every man a liar. The Scripture says, He said, I've got a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel that calls herself a prophetess to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idol. This message of free will doctrine. And have you ever noticed that's the common denominator in all false religion? That's the common denominator. It permeates that thought that man is the actual author of his own salvation. They said, now, we don't really teach that. What we say is that God died for everybody. And the Lord says, I lay down my life for the sheep. He told some Pharisees, he said, you don't believe because you're not my sheep. Well, obviously, there were some that weren't his sheep because he said, you're not my sheep. So I know that there were some that weren't. But he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, he said, the sheep shall hear my voice, and they will come to me. And all, John 6:37, all that the Father hath given me in eternal election, what? Shall come to me. Well, let me ask you this. If some don't come, if some men or some women don't come, what is the conclusion of that? They weren't the sheep. They weren't the sheep. Therefore, this message of unfaithfulness permeates into every false religion. It's the mother of all false religions. There's a common denominator. Free will, that man is the author. He's the finisher of his salvation. It is the message that denies God's sovereignty, God's will, God's purpose, and God's mercy. Every false preacher that preaches, every man, every woman that believes the lie of man's ability, every man, every woman that believes the lie of man's sovereignty. Somewhere along the line, we've just got to be honest about it. It's wishy-washy, man really is the last word, and God says, I'm the author and finisher of faith. Somewhere along the line, these things don't jive with the Word of God. So somewhere along the line, we're going to find that every false preacher who preaches and believes that man is the author of his eternal destiny and free will. I've told you this before. Free will. Bound by nothing. Bound by nothing. Free. Free. That's what free. Bound by nothing. Man's free will. Every man that believes that over God's will, listen, is a Jezebel. He's a Jezebel. She's a Jezebel. She is a spiritual fornicator against God because they despise what God says. They despise His will. The Lord said in Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. How do you know who they are? That's a good question. How do you know? Galatians 1:9, Paul the Apostle speaking says, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man, who penned, who was the actual man that penned the book of Ephesians? Paul the Apostle. How did he pen it? Under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Holy men wrote as they were moved on by the Spirit of God. God Almighty. All Scripture is given by the breath of God. Inspiration. The breath of God. Men say, well, you know, the Scriptures are inconsistent. No, you're inconsistent, and I'm inconsistent, but not this Word. This Word is not going to return void. It's going to accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. Now, let me tell you what this message is right here. This message is sent out by God's direction to call out God's sheep. And it has one promise to all that disobey it: judgment. But this message sets forth that Almighty God has a people, and He's going to save them, Neil. He's going to save them. He's going to. That's what this whole book of Revelation is about. God is sending this message. Paul the Apostle used by God and wrote the book of Ephesians and Colossians and Thessalonians too, that we're bound to give thanks. Paul wrote that. Paul penned the words under the inspiration of the Spirit of God in Ephesians 1:4. That He chose us before the foundation of the world. But Paul wrote that. Paul says in Galatians 1:9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. Believe this or not, I believe what I'm telling you is absolutely so. I love you. I love you. I want to be truthful with you. I want to tell you the truth. I want to tell you the truth. Search these scriptures and find out if these things are so. Find out if it's right. I'm not trying to be mean. I don't want to be mean. I told you last week, I hate confrontations. I hate that. I'll walk 3 miles around something to avoid a confrontation. I really will. I want everybody to like me. I really do. I do. But when it comes to these scriptures right here, how many of you have told me, you know, Marvin, you step out of this pulpit and it's like you turn into a different person. I like a joke. I enjoy laughing. I enjoy picking at you. But when I step behind this pulpit, it's all business. Why? Because this is God's Word. This is God's message. And I strive to find out what has God got to say. Because I'm going to tell you something. My eternal soul rests on what God says. Me. Me and you and you and you and you and you. God said this. And when I'm dead and gone out of this world, this Word is going to remain. It's not going to change. It's not going to deviate. It's going to accomplish. Paul says, if any man preaches any other gospel, let him be accursed. Verse 21, I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Listen, God Almighty is not going to be blamed for man's disobedience. If a man shuns this gospel and says, I am not going to believe that. I'm going to do everything in the world I can to disprove it. I'm going to do, if God, let me tell you something. I tried to disprove it. First time I heard this, I thought, no, wait a minute. Let me find John 3:16 here. Whenever I found out what John 3:16 actually meant, I thought, you know what? I see that Almighty God is right. He said, I gave her space to repent. Verse 22, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they think differently, repent of their deeds. Rebels against Almighty God will be cast into a bed of anguish. And all who believe and receive false free will doctrine and die in that state will be damned with it. I'm telling you, men say that free willism, the thoughts that a man has the right, the will, and the ability to accept or reject what Almighty God has to say. I can say this. The Scripture says in John 1:13, which were born from above, not of blood. They weren't born saved. Nobody's born saved. Everybody's born lost. Everybody. Only one man born in this world, conceived of the Holy Ghost, came to this world perfect on his own account. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. I pray Almighty God saves my family. I've got some in my family that don't know God. How do I know? They don't believe the gospel. They don't believe God. They were born not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Somebody said, if man has a free will, God says you don't. How were they born? They were born of God. Born from above. Born. Verse 23. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am He which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. The church is taught that the Lord knows the thoughts, the motives, the purposes of every man, every woman. You know, there's nothing to me that is more comforting than to look into the Word of God and say, you know what, this is what God says, let's say that. Expand on it. That's the word I'm looking for. How am I going to expand the Word of God? But to take what Almighty God says is so, God shows mercy on whom He will show mercy. I pray God calls you out of darkness. I pray that Almighty God have mercy on me. You know, we're all in need of Him, all of us. You know, the need doesn't start at that first row back. It starts right here in this pulpit. I need Him. I need God to have mercy on me. The illegitimate children of this false prophetess is going to suffer God's judgment in absolute righteousness. The Lord says, I will kill her children with death. He's saying, they will be put to death with death. That's the literal. They'll be put to death with death. Verse 24, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. The Lord, in His absolute mercy, has kept His people from seducing lies. He keeps them. He keeps them. Do you think that you've learned? I was reading something the other day, and it was saying in this article, it was written in a book called, I think it was called Christianity Today. Brother Henry gave me an article that was written in there, and what it was saying is, it was talking about Calvinism is having a real comeback, is what it's saying. That's basically Calvinism. You know, the setting forth the doctrines of 5 points of Calvinism, total depravity, unconditional election, and the other three. Say it was having a comeback. And as I read all these things, they were saying some really good things. I mean, they were arguing with their constituents about, you know, that this. But the crust of the argument was this. They felt, those that were having the comeback, the belief in the revival of Calvinism, what they were saying was, this is just something that I've added to, you know, my long list of information. They were saying, I was converted when I was in a free will, you know, church. I mean, I was saved back then. I've been saved for years and years and years. But later in life, I heard the gospel, the doctrines of grace, and I've kind of added that too. And so now I'm just smarter. No. If God Almighty saves a man, He doesn't save him under false religion. He does not save a man. I grew up in a free will church. I grew up. First I was a Roman Catholic. And I came up and went to confession and all this kind of stuff. And then later, my mother and dad went over to another church, and it was just another doctrine, but it was still free will. It was, I mean, had the same basis. And then years later, and I walked down an aisle and I shook the preacher's hand and I was baptized and But I believed all along that I was the one. I decided. Then one day, Almighty God, on my road to Damascus, through His Word, through a preacher, said to me, in power and in mercy, I'm the one you're persecuting. And you know what my thought was? Who are you? You're not the God that I've heard about all my life. You're not just God. When God Almighty calls a man or a woman out of darkness, He does it by the preaching of the gospel. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of this gospel. Why? It's the power of God unto salvation. God saves people. He saves His elect. He saves sinners under the preaching of the gospel, the truth. Men are not saved in false religion and then later come and just kind of add this to them and say, well, look what else I found out. You know, I was saved here as free will, but now I've added this to my, baggie of stuff. If God saves a man, He saves him by the preaching of Christ. God Almighty saves men by truth. Truth. The Lord said in that 24th verse, I say unto you, unto the rest in Thyatira, that have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I won't put any other burden. I'll put upon you none other burden. God Almighty mercifully measures the burden of His chastisement according to His good pleasure. Verse 25, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. Seize and retain, you that believe. Listen to what the Spirit says to the church. Seize and retain. Hold on. Hold on. How? In the strength of the Lord. I can tell you that. Not by your own strength, because you don't have any. But Almighty God that commands His people to do a certain thing, it is God that worketh in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. If you believe Him, you know why you believe Him? Because He's faithful to keep you by His power through faith. Yesterday's faith is yesterday's faith. I need faith today. I need God Almighty to do something for me right now. When I started preaching this morning, I need God to keep me right now. I need a continual flowing of His mercy and grace to me right now. Wasn't it He gave me something, Mitch, back a few years ago, and I'm doing the best I can with it, just kind of hanging in there. It's a long road, but boy, I tell you what, if Almighty God doesn't keep me right now, I don't have any hope. None. Hold fast till I come. Hold fast. Hold in the strength of the Lord. Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:13, the sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Jesus Christ. Hold fast. And God's people do. They do. It's the greatest blessing to see the mercy of Almighty God that keeps His people. Keeps them. He just keeps them. They got up today believing God. What a miracle of God's grace. I watch these fellows on television. You know, if you send off and get this miracle spring water and follow the directions. I don't know what that... Get this little thing of water, and he says, they got the spring water and followed the directions. Well, if it's a miracle, what is it? They talk about miracles. Let me tell you about a miracle. If you that believe are here today, that's a miracle. That's a miracle of God's grace. That was beyond anything that you were able to do. Hold fast. Verse 26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He that overcometh, he that is victorious, a victorious overcomer by Christ, by the Lord Jesus Christ, the overcomer himself. He who is our victor. He whose righteousness in which we're clothed. You that overcome and keepeth my works. It doesn't say words, though that is so. But keepeth his works. Not my works, God's works. Good works. Good works. And there's none good but God. But good works that are wrought in God's people. Good works. God's works. Do you think it's a light thing that you believe God? That you have faith to believe this gospel and rest? You think that's a light thing? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith in Christ, by God's mercy and God's grace, without faith, it's impossible to please God. I don't care what you do. I don't care how much you give. I don't care. Without faith in this message, in the Christ of this message right here, it's impossible. It's not improbable that you might be able to. It's impossible to please God. He that keepeth my works, keepeth them unto the end. It's not how a man starts. It's not how a man starts. It is not how a man starts. It's how a man ends. How a man ends. Well, I remember back years ago, you know, I used to be in church, and I don't really care for it anymore, but I remember years ago, that's what men say. It's not how a man starts. He that endures to the end. And how's a man going to endure to the end? You know this. You know the answer before I even say it. He keeps you. He keeps you. Well, Scott, you know why you're here today? Because God kept you here. But for the grace of God, you'd leave just like any of us. We'd all leave. If God didn't keep us. He keepeth my words, or works, I'm sorry, under the end. To him will I give power over the nations. We'll reign with Christ. That's what it means. Verse 27, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. It is the Lord to the Lord Himself that is said in Psalm 2, verse 8 and 9. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Like a potter's vessel. What vessels? Now, we're all vessels. All of us are vessels. We're all vessels. I'm a vessel, you're a vessel. We're all vessels. Now, let me show you, in closing, Romans 9. Let me show you what God says concerning all vessels. If there's anything that I want to do before I finish preaching every time, is make sure that I've set forth this one thing. Almighty God is God. He's God. I'm telling you, when I say He's God, He is God. Sovereign God. But saying that God is God is enough. And if He's God, I'm not and you're not. Okay? We're all vessels. Romans 9, 21. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump, and we're all out of the same lump, to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Let me ask you this, and let's just be honest in closing. Did that scripture right there, did it ask this question? Doesn't the potter, doesn't God Almighty have the power, the ability, the will, the purpose, got the power? If I have the power over everything that belongs to me, that means I got it. And if you want to do anything with it, you've got to ask me. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump? Where did we come from? Same lump. Same lump. Hath not the potter power of the clay of the same lump to make, to produce, to be? To be is what it means. To make. To be. One vessel unto honor, what God calls honorable, and another unto dishonor. What if God, willing to show His wrath, what if God, willing to show His justice, and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted, or if you have in your Bible in the middle, that word fitted right there means made up. What if God is willing to allow a man or a woman to go through this life? He's long-suffering. What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long-suffering? He just allowed a Jezebel to go right through this life and do just exactly what she wanted to do. All the while, spitting, despising the face, the Word of Almighty God. What if God, willing to make His power known, endured with much long suffering, just let them do what they want to do? I heard Brother Henry say one time, he says, don't argue with man. Don't argue with man over the gospel. I'm not going to argue with you. I just don't want to argue with you. I'm not going to argue with you. Leave them alone. Preach the gospel and let God do what God's going to do. But I can't convince you anyway. What if God, willing to show His wrath and make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath made up to destruction? And that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, which He had afore prepared unto glory. Now, who's lying? Who's lying? Somebody's lying. And I'll tell you this. It's not God. It's not Almighty God. Verse 27 says, He shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I've received of my Father. And I, verse 28, will give Him the morning star. To those that by His grace have overcome, we shall forever possess by sight the Lord Jesus Christ, our eternal light and our eternal glory. To He that overcomes, to those kept by the power of God Himself, by the mercy and grace and compassion of God Himself, to those that overcome, I'll give Him the morning star. 2 Peter 1:19. Just a few verses back. 2 Peter 1:19. Peter says we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. That day star, the Lord Jesus Himself, that will introduce us in that day into the glorious day of eternal bliss. Verse 29, He that hath an ear. If God has given you an ear, the Lord says the seeing eye and the hearing ear, the Lord gives them both. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Let him hear with understanding. Let him hear with love. Let him hear with an understanding of God's mercy and grace to him. What the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, He who speaks even now to God's people's heart, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Well, so concludes
the second chapter, and Lord willing, next time we'll look at the summary of the third chapter. Okay, Brother Gary, you come.